From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
You can't out of the country, going to the cityscape, like every other one in America. It's a black and white town, you were sitting beside me, neither of us in good shape, leaning on one another and coming back down.
Singer-songwriter Greg Brown grew up in Kansas, Missouri, and most of all, Iowa. Loved music early, left it, came back, and now for 30 years has given his sung poetry and bone-deep voice to folk roots fans all over the country. Willie Nelson, Sean Colvin, and many more have performed his songs. Joan Baez recorded his Rex Roth's Daughter way back when. But there's nothing quite like Brown's own voice, deep in the country, in love, in a funk. This hour on Point, we're getting all grown up out of Iowa with folk root singer Greg Brown. You can join the conversation. What do you hear in this deep, rumbling voice? Is Greg Brown singing Your America? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Kansas City is Greg Brown. He was born and raised in southern Iowa. During the 1980s, you may remember he was a regular on Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion. He's a hero of the country's folk roots circuit, twice been nominated for a Grammy. He's out with his 23rd album, The Evening Call. Greg Brown, great to have you. Thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
You're sitting there in Kansas City. Is that home now? Where is home?
Where's home? We all wonder that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Well, I spend a lot of time in Kansas City these days. Got married to Iris DeMint 4 years ago, and Iris had just bought a house here in town. I just had built a farmhouse on my grandparents' little farm. And
In Iowa?
In Iowa, southern Iowa, yeah. And so now, you know, we spend the bulk of our time really in Kansas City, and we get up to the farm when we get a chance.
Iris DeMint, no mean name in the world you live in, and a lot of people love. How does that happen? How do folk singers, root singers, meet, fall in love, and get married? Is that the way it works?
Well, I'll put that all in a book someday. Yeah, that's what happened. We met and fell in love and got married. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's like most of us work, I suppose, one way or another. Here we are. You get celebrated as a regional singer, but your audience is so national. Do you see yourself as a region singer?
Oh, you know, I don't really think of those things. I don't know if there's such a thing anymore. I do think that
you're our last hope.
One of the beautiful things about American music, as I knew it growing up, is you did have music that was very strongly rooted in places and people all around the country. That's mm-hmm. what made American music so rich. Things obviously have gotten a lot more homogenous or something now, but you know, I do think for me anyway, growing up where I grew up and how I grew up and with who I grew up and the music I heard and the music I played growing up, I think that all had a huge effect on me. I mean, that's what I do is all that stuff I came up out of.
And we hear it in practically every song. I know you've got your guitar with you in Kansas City. We're looking forward to you playing for us. The new album is The Evening Call. Evening Call is on it. Could you give it to
us? Oh, sure. I'll do that one for you, yeah. I had my fun had me, from beneath her parasol. She says goodbye, old used to be, get ready for the evening. Well, she has grown cool, but how warm morning long writes history in lost high heels and empty cups whose lipstick stains are kissing. How chilly and my heart is poor. How low the sun, how high the wall. Sweet music drifting out my door. Merges with the evening. Had my fun, and my fun had me. So slow she turns, the swing goes to that young man beneath the shady tree, who there undoes the pretty clothes. Pretty close.
Greg Brown with Evening Call from his new CD, The Evening Call. Where did you get that voice? Your father was a preacher. Did he have it?
Well, I got it from my dad, I think, pretty much. Yeah, Paul was a good... He was a very good storyteller, and he illustrated a lot of his sermons with tales from his own boyhood in the Ozark.
And did he do it in that mountains. Super bass that you got rolling there?
Well, Paul had a nice baritone voice, and he would lead the singing in church. And Paul was a real good singer. My mother's a good singer too, and guitar player. Grandpa was a real good banjo player. He didn't sing much. He made a lot of sounds, but singing.
But
my grandmother on my mother's side played the pump organ, and she sang. She actually, folklorist came down, and she knew a lot of old Irish songs and ballads. And a folklorist I knew back then, Art Rosenbaum, came down and recorded her. So, I just grew up surrounded by all that stuff.
What a voice. Do you think of yourself as a kind of preacher?
Well, I don't really, but my preacher, I've got a great preacher here in Kansas City. I hadn't been to church for years, but got a great church here in Kansas City, and my preacher tells me that I'm a preacher, so I guess I'll have to go with that to some extent.
I mean, you've got your daddy's blood flowing there, and a preacher takes us somewhere and tells stories and looks for, what, epiphanies? Isn't that a songwriter's job in a way, too?
Well, I don't... it's a songwriter's job. I don't know. It feels to me like my job is to listen more than anything else, to listen, to get ready, to be ready, and then to listen. That seems to be the big job.
To listen and catch it in the air and play it back to us.
Yeah, I think so. I think songs are, they all come from some big pool. I don't pretend to understand any of that stuff, but I've never had much of an illusion that it was something I specifically by myself was doing. It's more like it kind of comes to you or through you. A lot of songwriters say the same thing. It's not... I don't want to make it sound like some big mistake. I mean, kids do it,
Kids do it all the time. We want to hear more, but we've got your music right behind you there. Greg Brown, stand by if you would. We've got to take a short break here. We're going to go out with a good big chunk of Skinny Days from Greg Brown's new album, The Evening Call. The number is 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
My Skinny Days.
the way she tends her secret place while uncle's gathered in the parlor, thick with smoke. Cousin Lou is in the hay. They say she knows how to play the game of love and her guitar with two strings broke. Fall asleep until the howl of wind and wave wake him up and they catch the last commuter train. Her skinny days and her family have stripped her down for all to see. But her big mouth could drink them all like summer drinks.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with down-home singer-songwriter Greg Brown, folk roots hero of Midwestern, backroads, and the countries. From his new album, The Evening Call, here's Kokomo.
There's a tenderloin specimen sack and say the sky is the dirtiest sock. I live in my hat, it's long and mad. I met an old guy walking around the block. I asked him how to get out of town. He said, how far you want to go? I said, I was thinking about Arkansas. He said, you're better off in Kokomo.
Kokomo. If a bullfrog could play or if corn could sing, they might sound like Greg Brown's at Pure Music in 2001. The new album right there, The Evening Call. Listeners, you can join us. Join Greg Brown. He's with us from Kansas City today. Is this your America, your sound? Where does Greg Brown take you when you listen? To your home, to someone else's, to your heart? And Iowa listeners, what do you make of your homeboy? 800-423-8255 is our number. It's 800-423-TALK. Alan is calling from Bay City, Michigan. Alan, you're on with Greg Brown.
Hey, Tom, Greg. Great to talk to you guys. Tom, I think it's a real testament to your show that you have on somebody of the quality of Greg Brown. He just inspires me as a father and as a husband. Greg, your ability to take what it is to be a man, I think, and make it humble and noble, as far as parenting and being a good person, just really hits it for me. Your song, Spring Wind, I swear, and you'd probably deny this, but I swear you were spying on my wife and I when you wrote that song. And it just means so much to me, and I'd like you to come up fishing sometime in northern Michigan. I'm from Petoskey. I figured.
A lot of fishing in Greg Brown's songs, Alan, and a lot on this album. You're ready to go there with him.
Oh, yeah, I can put you into some great brook trout, Greg. I'm not going to tell you exactly where, because you know that would be against the code, but anytime you want to come to northern Michigan, my friend, you are more than welcome to come fishing with me.
Well, yeah, I just I played that in, I think it was Montana, not too long ago. And this fella came up to me, he was actually from the UP, and he had a map,
yeah.
A little map to a secret honey hole that he'd... made for me, but it was awful hard to read. But I'm going to try someday.
Yeah, well, the laughing whitefish, the yellow dog, we're waiting for you, Greg. God bless you, my friend. You're fantastic.
Thank you very much.
We got it. Alan, thanks so much for your call there. We've got more Michigan on the mind here for you, Greg Brown. Steve's calling from Collinsville, Connecticut. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
First of all, I have to say I'm also from Petoskey, which is a town of about 7,000, and this is a little strange that you've had two in a row from such a small town.
Up in Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't living there at the time when you came and did the benefit for the nurses' strike. So I missed that. But I have an easier question for you, I think. I've listened to the song Laughing River about 1,000 times, and I know Northern Michigan pretty well, and I want to know if that's a fictional river, if you're actually talking about a river that I might have swam in once or twice.
All Petoskey wants to know, Greg Brown.
People tell me that that's actually the Laughing Whitefish River. I wrote that song right on the banks of the river. I was driving along up there, and that song came into my head, and I pulled over, and I pulled back on a lane, and ended up by this river, a very pretty river. And in my memory, there was a sign along that river called the Laughing River, and so that song became called, I called it the Laughing River. People said, I told them where I'd been about, and they said, oh, that's the Laughing Whitefish River. So I guess I just, maybe I just picked what I wanted out of that sign, but I just thought it was such a beautiful name for a river, the Laughing River. I just liked the sound of that.
Steve, it sounds like you can travel there in your mind anytime.
Yeah, that's right. You just described many of the rivers in Northern Michigan.
Yeah, there's some sure beautiful ones there.
That's terrific. Steve, thanks for your call. Let's get a call from Iowa City, Iowa. Will is on the line. Hi, Will. You're on the air with Greg Brown.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hey.
I didn't have much of a question. I have a transplant. I've been in Iowa for about 6 years now, and one of the first things my friends here did was take me to see Greg Brown at the Mill, and we do miss those regularly scheduled appearances.
Yeah, I do too.
And we've seen him. Like I said, we've seen you and Iris come through a few times, and was wondering, and she'll be here this weekend, and we were wondering if you're going to come and sing a few songs, or if you ever thought about you guys working on an album together, or duets, or anything like that.
I don't think we're going to be George and Tammy, but I would be there this weekend, except I'm going to I'll be playing out in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Instead, but it's as a singer, it's a humbling thing to be very tired to me. Sometimes I kind of forget, you know. I mean, we're just going along in our daily lives, and I forget what a great singer she is. And I'll be doing something around the house, and I'll hear this voice come floating out, and I just think, man, I should try and find a job of some kind and do something that makes sense.
Let her sing. Well, sounds like Will in Iowa wants to get you both up on stage there. Will, thanks a lot for your call. Greg Brown, the New Yorker, came out and profiled you a few years back, and they had this line that you must have turned over in your mind once or twice. They said, you know, what seems to enrapture people, particularly Midwesterners and particularly women, is that his emotionally complex songs are steeped in rural testosterone. It's as if Johnny Cash sang Joni Mitchell songs and meant them. What did you make of that?
Oh, I think people from New York have some real problems. I have no idea what that means, if anything at all.
But it's a great line. You got to admit, it catches your attention.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I think I'd rather hear Joni Mitchell sing a Johnny Cash song.
Yeah, actually. Well, we'd rather just judge for ourselves, maybe. How about Joy Tears off your new album? Could you play that for us?
Oh, Joy Tears, sure, yeah.
Tell us a little about it, if there's something to say.
Well, it's pretty much of a gospel style song. I'd say musically, it's rooted in old gospel tunes, and it's one of those that I carried around the feel of it for maybe 6 months or so, and then boom, it was one of those songs that's generally the way I work. Is I carry around inside for a long time, and then when they're ready, it doesn't take too long to write them. I woke up this morning wishing it would rain. You know, all this heat and dryness, well, it's messing with my brain. I want to see some thunder here, rising up above the great plains. I woke up this morning hugging the pillow where you had lain. People who say they understand love, well, they're either a liar or a fool. You know love can be so kind, turn right around and be so cruel. My old heart, you know it's just as stubborn as a mule. I woke up this morning, oh, my love was shining like a jewel. Oh, and when you start your singing, the heavens open up with grace. It comes right from your heart, and you know it's such an open place. Whatever had me down, you know it's, oh, it's gone without a trace. I woke up this morning with joy, tears on my face. Yeah, I woke up this morning, joy, tears on my face.
Amen. We hear the gospel. Greg Brown with Joy Tears from the Evening Call. A lot of listeners want to speak with you, Mr. Brown. Kimberly's calling from Sudbury, Massachusetts. Hi, Kimberly. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Greg, I want to let you know that for me, growing up in New England, you have really brought the heartland of America into my life in a way that I don't think I would have been able to discover otherwise. And I really feel connected to a sense of America that I lacked before I was turned on to your music by my husband. And I really think you're a national treasure.
Well,
well, that's pretty good.
You know, I have to do what I can because we don't get a lot of visitors in the Midwest. A lot of people are very confused as to where Iowa and Ohio and Idaho,
that's right,
where they might possibly be. So.
Kimberly, what did you learn about that region from Greg Brown?
Well, I, to be honest with you, I think I'm sort of a stuck-up New Englander. And until I really started listening to Greg's music, I just didn't have an appreciation for the soulful connection that he feels to the land and to the people. And I just feel as though he's really broadened my understanding of what the whole rest of the country is like out there.
Oh, that's fantastic. Kimberly, thank you very much for your call.
Well, you're very welcome. Greg, I think you're one of the sexiest men alive, and I wish you well. I can't wait to get your new album.
Well, thank you very much.
Move over, George Clooney. You know, Greg Brown, what do you make of that? I think, in a way, my producers, when they booked you in here, and I'm so glad they did, but they were kind of playing a they're kind of having fun. I'm a Midwesterner, transplanted to all over the place, and Boston for a long, long time now. I'd be curious what you make of how people understand what you are or what you're singing as a Midwesterner. What is it that they latch on to when you do what you do?
You know, I don't have a clue. It's really hard for me to understand those things in myself or how that all works. I do know I can say that in singers that I myself respond to, there's a quality there which it's indefinable, really, because it doesn't have to do with the range or the even the skill sometimes of the voice. It's just when I hear this certain thing which I cannot pin down, But, I mean, if I'm listening to Billie Holiday or Muddy Waters or Hank Williams or Jimmy Rogers or the Carter Family or early Elvis or, you know, it's a long list of people. I hear that thing, and I just, my heart responds to it. And what that is, I really don't know. But there's, and it's different for different people, you know. Some people respond wildly to singers that, you know, I'd have to slap my face to stay awake. And it's different for different people. And what I don't really know how you can pin that stuff down. But I know when I hear something, it doesn't really have anything to do with the style even, or even the words. I love this singer from Czechoslovakia, Eva Bitova, who plays violin and sings. I don't have a clue what she's singing about, except I do. You know, I think that's something about music that's kind of mysterious, is that you can hear a song in some language that you don't understand, and yet you'll understand that song somehow. It'll get in there. It's a wonderful thing, really.
So she's from Czechoslovakia, and you feel it, but so many of the musicians you just mentioned, and so many of those who made the deep imprint on American music, were Southerners. But here you are, a Midwesterner, and I'm trying to figure out if you're singing the heart of the Midwest or singing in a kind of opposition or sort of subculture, counterculture.
You know,
your poetry, the fruit sellers and all the rest, I hear that. But I'm not sure if it's of or in answer to.
Yeah, I think the Southern, I mean, that's where so much of our music is rooted, blues, of course, and country music and an awful lot of gospel music. I'd have to bring you to the Ozark Mountains, and I'd have to bring you to my little part of southern Iowa. It ain't what you'd expect. People expect it to be cornfields and beanfields. It's all hills and trees. And that particular area, I think the music probably came up the river. I'm not that far off the Mississippi River. And the country in southern Iowa is old coal mining country. That's what they did there. A lot of miners from all over came in there and brought all kinds of music with them. So music gets mixed up and washes into little back river areas, and it used to anyway. And I mean, the Ozarks, of course, are just full of that stuff, of all kinds of music and storytelling. And I don't know, it's just a big, it's a big old river. You can put your dipper in about anywhere.
The South washes right up. There's no denying that along that river, and so much trade for so long, and so much culture and people who came south, and then, I mean, not all, but a lot who sort of curved up there. But then there's something Midwestern in your vocabulary and your imagery as well, fruit seller stuff, which really isn't as much Southern, but just feels absolutely Midwest native to me.
You know, that particular song, I would say, is I've met people from all over the country that had a grandma that put up vegetables in the fall, and that seems to be kind of a universal thing. There used to be a lot more gardening in this country, I think, all over the place, because I've met some people in New England and people in Washington State and California and the Midwest, and, you know, a lot of them had a grandma that did some canning. That used to be just such a common thing.
I sure did, and I love it. Love it when you sing to it. It's great to have you with us today, Greg Brown. There's much more we want to hear, and lots of people who want to speak with you. We'll go out of this segment with Bucket from Greg Brown's new album, The Evening Call. Listeners, you can join us. We're at 800-423-8255. What's the cultural music you hear in Greg Brown's songs? Is it regional? Do we still support, respond to regional music, or is everything national now? 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Call it impossible, call it a crime. Not kissing you is a waste of time. It doesn't scan and it doesn't rhyme without you. Call it a picnic, take it to the park, meet me at the willow, long about dark, only song I sing like a meadowlark. About you.
Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, B-I-C-O-N.com. And RHR International, an executive and organizational development firm committed to integrating executives into new roles.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with singer-songwriter, Iowa-born Greg Brown. His new album is The Evening Call, and it's terrific. You can join the conversation. Is this your kind of poet, your kind of singer, your kind of man? Do you hear what has had Lucinda Williams, Sean Colvin, Willie Nelson, Steve Earle all standing up to sing the songs of Greg Brown? Maybe my personal favorite off this album is called Eugene. Let's listen to a big chunk of it right here.
I think I'll drive out to Eugene, get a slide-in camper for my truck, pack a bamboo rod and hip boots, a book of flies from a Missoula pawn shop, rub mink oil into the cracked leather, wonder about the old guy who tied these trout-chewed flies. They work good. Take along my Gibson J45, made by women during World War II. A coffee stain, stack of maps, a little propane stove, a pile of old quilts, a can opener, kipper snacks, smoked oysters, gunpowder tea, a copper teapot, and a good sharp knife. Sometimes you have to go look for your life. I'll park by some rivers, cook up some rice and beans, read Ferlinghetti out loud, talk to the moon, tell her all my love tales. She's heard them many times. I'll make up some new, juicier parts, drink cold whiskey from a tin cup, sit in a lawn chair, fiddle with my memories, close my eyes and see. Sometimes you gotta go not look for nothing. The Northwest is good once you get off I-5 and wander up and down the Willamette, damn it, on the back roads. I know a few people who let me park in the drive, plug in for a night or two, stay up late and talk about these crazy times, the blandification of our whole situation. And then back to the woods. A dog is bound to find me sooner or later. Sometimes you gotta not look too hard. Just let the dog find you.
Just let the dog find you. Greg Brown with Eugene from his new CD, The Evening Call. Wow. We love it. Karen's calling from Chesapeake, Virginia. Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have never heard Greg Brown before, so this is an enlightenment.
What really do you think?
Interested. My first impression, and I think it's kind of cool to have a first impression having never heard him before, was that he reminds me a bit of if you were going to clone Tom Waits and Gordon Lightfoot.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Gordon Lightfoot's a lot poppier, but he speaks for Canada so well. Even as a young girl, I always, you know, would listen to his songs and just could feel Canada when I listened to his music.
So are you feeling Iowa now, Karen, yeah, over in Chesapeake?
A little bit, yeah.
That's great.
It makes me intrigued to go out there and feel that part of the country.
Yeah.
But Tom Waits is in there, too, I think, because he has that sort of gravelly poet, you know, kind of thing going on, too.
Greg, how's it feel when they start throwing the nets over you? Tom Waits and Gordon and you name it, right on down the list.
I think I Joni Mitchell and Johnny Cash is my favorite so far.
Stick with sorry.
That. No, that's great. That's great.
But anyway, I really appreciate your music, and I'm going to check you out.
Karen,
well,
thank you very much for calling. Let's get a call from Urbandale, Iowa. And Doug, hi, Doug. You're on the air with Greg Brown.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
This is quite interesting. When I first had moved back to Iowa from Chicago, I was sitting with friends, and I heard The Cheapest Kind. And I thought, my God, that's the story of my life growing up.
The Cheapest Kind.
I'd grown up in Iowa. Yeah. Is that the title of the song?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
And I'd grown up in northwestern Iowa. My parents were also very Orthodox religion, so we grew up without TV and big family. We had a, what was it, the cellar, the fruit cellar. We had it actually under the kitchen table in the house. You'd have to move
it. A little trap door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Hunker down.
That,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and God, you know, just living with parents who had, you know, living on pennies, and we had so many of our fruits and vegetables that we got through the summer that we had stored down there to make it through the winter.
So it was real to you when you heard it.
Oh, it's just, yeah, dead on. And then, I can't remember the title of the song, where it's going down to Grama's again, where you...
Yeah, that's probably the canned goods song. I imagine
right.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's great.
And all the ants tumbling out of the little tiny house and how good it is. Doug, thanks for calling. Greg, there's another open book, a preacher family, religious family, in Doug's case, calling in. What about the long-term impact of that in your music, that Pentecostal upbringing?
You know, I think it was really good. I think I was fortunate in my father was a Pentecostal open Bible preacher, but he didn't have any of that scaring people into heaven stuff in him. His sermons were all about love. At the end of his life, Paul had become a member of the Baha'i community,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if I'm sure some of the listeners are familiar
sure.
with the Baha'i, but that's about as far as you can get from
fire and
Pentecostal and stay in any kind of church at all.
Right.
So my dad was a different sort of guy. So I loved the music, and I loved the speaking in tongues. I loved the laying on of hands when people were in trouble. I think that's just very powerful, beautiful stuff. But I didn't get, I remember when I was 9 or 10 looking at some of the older preachers' kids when we would have these big revivals. And they were the wildest ones around because everything was no in their life. No, you can't listen to music. No, you can't dance. No, you can't. And so in our household, I could listen to any music I wanted. It was much... a freer thing than I know was the case for a lot of people. Mm. By the time I was about 12, my dad left the Open Bible Church mm-hmm. and went back to seminary, became a Methodist preacher, and then after a few years there, became a Baha'i and left the church entirely. So I feel like I got the good part, you know.
You learned how to savor somewhere along the way in Eugene. I just love that kind of visceral savoring. A little later on in that song, you write, "The world we've made scares the hell out of me. There's still a little bit of heaven in there, and I want to show it due respect." That can be any kind of heaven, but there's a big environmental love theme running through your music as well. Is that Iowa? I mean, Iowa's got some. It's big and a lot of land, but a lot of tamed land out there too.
Oh yeah, yeah. My little neck of the woods down mm-hmm. there. My farm is
a little more gnarly.
It's very much more gnarly, and the Ozarks, where my dad's from. I'm really more kind of a hill country person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I grew up in. But my father's mother, Ella May, was a conservationist and a poet and was involved very early with trying to preserve keep some of the rivers in the Ozarks from being dammed up and to preserve big tracts of forest and not let it all be logged. So and my father, having grown up there, he was a great hunter and a great fisherman. He taught me how to do those things, and he taught me a lot of respect for the so-called natural world, as if there was some other.
Mm, we'll take it. Sean's calling from Old Saybrook, Connecticut. Hi, Sean. You're on the air with Greg Brown.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
Great to hear you. I was just dialing through the radio and came across Greg's music. It's mesmerizing. I had never heard you before, Greg. Thank you. I did have a question for you. In one of the earlier songs I heard, it seemed that you were singing in quarter tones. You were sort of somewhere in between notes, and as a poor amateur musician, I just wonder if that's something you do deliberately, or you just feel that in between the sound somehow.
It's probably just the hour of the day was probably the only explanation for that.
It's early in Kansas City.
Well, it's very rich, and
thank you.
Really, really got a big kick out of listening to
you. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Sean, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Let's get another call from Iowa. Iowa City, Mandy's on the air. Hi, Mandy. You're on the air with Greg Brown.
Hi. Hi, Tom. Hi, Greg. I listen to you both every day, so it's nice that I can multitask. But I grew up on a farm in north central Iowa, and my dad is a huge Greg Brown fan. And we spent all of our days in the summer outside, but when it rained, we were stuck inside. And we'd listen to his old record, so the sound of Greg Brown's voice has always reminded me of wet Iowa earth. And I've been able to take his CDs with me, and I've traveled all over the world. So when I was, particularly one day when I was in New Zealand, I'd been away from Iowa for a year and a half, and I put in one of his CDs, and it was like, okay, I'm good for another 6 months. That was Iowa, and I can go on now. But I just wanted to thank you for being from Iowa and for doing all the great work that you do. And Seed Savers is one of my favorite events, so I always try to.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful thing, Seed Savers.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mandy,
yeah.
That's great. Thanks very much for calling. Our time is running down, getting too short for some of your songs, but you've got one old one in here, Like a Dog, a kind of a love song with a Scratch the Dog theme. Could you do it for us, Greg?
Oh, sure, Like a Dog, sure, yeah. Like a dog, like a dog, sat by your door, hoping for any little scraps you might throw. And I whine sometimes, 'cause I need your love. And I have loved you like a dog, like a dog, like a dog. I'm always there while you are out gallivanting somewhere. And one little scratch means everything. When I have loved you like a dog, maybe I shouldn't admit it. Maybe I shouldn't have tried. You want something, honey, I'll get it. A dog is not burdened with pride, like a dog, I leap with joy. When you call my name, call me a good boy. Oh, I wish I had a dog's heart instead of this one. For I have loved you like a dog. I have loved you like a dog.
No! We've got dogs barking all over the country. Let's get one last call. Laura from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, Laura. You're on the air with Greg Brown.
Well, hello. I've been listening to Greg for 30 years when I was a listener to KUNI and then when I worked there and now as a listener again. I think Canned Goods was probably the first thing I ever heard you play.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It appears to have worn well. Which tunes wear well for you? What are you still willing to play after 30 years, and which ones would you like rather never play again, even though everyone asked you for them?
Yeah, that's great, Laura.
You know, they kind of drift in and out. Some songs, like I haven't played Canned Goods live for quite a while, but someday I will again. And you know, there's a number of songs that have held up well over the years. They tend to kind of go away for a while, and then they come back. You know, some song that I've done for quite a while, all of a sudden I think, man, I just can't get into that anymore, and I'll drop it for a while. But the ones that I don't do anymore, I don't know because I just let them go, and I don't even know which ones they are, but they're gone somewhere to the song scrap pile someplace.
In the sky.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to dream deep to find your real life, you're singing Eugene. Can you go back to those old dreams? I guess sometimes you can and sometimes you can't.
Oh, well, old dreams, yeah. I don't know if you can... You can always go into new dreams. I don't know about old dreams. That song, Eugene, was a fun thing to write. I'd been out in Eugene and I passed a little place. It was an RV place, but they had kind of funky RVs. They had some of those old sliding campers with the curved roof.
Sure, on, in the back of the
sitting
pickup.
Back kind of under a grove of trees. And I thought, man, I got to get back out here sometime. And when I got home, I just wrote out that little story into my notebook, not thinking anything of it, you know, just, and then I thought, I wonder what that'd be like with a little music with it, so.
Old dream made new. We love it. Greg Brown, it's been wonderful having you with us from Kansas City.
Hey, thank
City.
You very much, Tom, for having me on.
It's just terrific. The new CD is The Evening Call. We'll go out with Whippoorwill. Greg Brown, happy trails. Thanks a lot for
Same
being
to you.
Here.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.